The dunya, this world, is the home of deception. It is the place of trials, tribulations. The human being, as long as he is alive, he will pass through different and various tests and issues, worries, distresses, poverty, lot of wealth, less wealth, not enough wealth, ups, downs. All of these are part and parcel of the life in this dunya. Illness and issues and problems and difficulties. And this is how we have to pass our life, through these phases and challenges. And through these challenges, Allah Ta'ala elevates the rank of the person, lowers the rank of a person. So brothers, the reality, what comes and confronts us in the life in this world, these things are already in our destiny and they are going to occur. They are present in our life and they are going to occur. They are going to take place. So what the issue we have to actually understand and that takes place is that when these issues or problems or difficulties or distresses come past us or come our way, we don't accept them. We don't accept that this is part of life and this is in my destiny. And we start to put extra burdens on top of our head, the anxiety and the stress of those issues. So this life in this world, along with all of the issues that we have, we can make life easy if insan, the human being, follows the statements and ponders and analyzes the life of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he gets ease in the world. Because what's going to happen is going to happen in life. What is going to occur is going to occur. But before the issues occur, we are in distress. And when they come, the issues, we're more in distress. And it's difficult for us to accept what comes our way in life. For example, there's a man who's sick and he is told about his sickness, then he becomes even more worried. Somebody's got a little bit of pain and they know, or he knows that he's got the pain, but we mention the pain, then the pain increases, isn't it? So there are things that are already occurring and that we are living along with, but when we mention them, ponder over them, think about them, then they increase in the intensity. But we, all of us, can live in this life with patience, and our rewards will increase if we follow the sayings and the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's a very easy way. We all, for example, are on the same journey. Now there's something that will give us loss, that when people or us have issues and the conditions change and problems come, then we go into reverse gear and even turn our backs on the deen of Islam. And instead of going further and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we complain, oh, I've got no life, I've got problems, worries, difficulties, people get disheartened and lack hope. And they were going in a good way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they suddenly go into reverse gear due to their problems. So this is a dangerous situation, brothers. Dangerous situation, my friends. Sometimes it even happens that people, they start to present their deeds. Look, I pray salah, even then I've got problems. Why is this the case? If I pray salah, I do dhikr, even then I've got issues and problems. Why? I'm doing dhikr, why is it happening to me? People say. They go, we start to complain, we present our deeds. We say, before I didn't practice and I didn't have problems, and now I've done tawbah and I start to practice Islam and I've got issues and problems come my way. What's the point? What was the benefit of coming towards the deen? So these are statements of, you can say, kufr, of disbelief, that take a person away from the deen. Look, problems, anxieties, issues, distresses, we don't need to worry about these things. If we take hold of the solution that we've been given, of course we'll have issues, of course we're going to have problems in life. I'm not saying they're not going to occur. But if we prepare for these things in the right way, then there will be less burden on us. In every generation, in every age, in every time, we will see the people of the world always went through issues and challenges. So why do we expect that this will not happen to us? So what is it that we need to do? How should we be mentally or physically prepared such that we will successfully pass through the challenging times? So that even if there are challenges, we will depart from the challenges. First, we have to have total yaqeen, certainty, that whatever happens in life is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's no human being who sends afflictions or calamities onto us. If Allah ta'ala doesn't will, it won't occur. So that's the first thing. So this is a dua of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that do this dua, ask for this supplication, perform this supplication, this prayer. So we need to do dua so that we get assistance from Allah, so that we get energy, assistance, and power to get through the bad times. And further, this is a very big piece of advice. What is this dua that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to us? This is the dua that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us, the dua that, oh Allah, please give me such strong certainty in yaqeen that whatever problems and afflictions come by me, my way, then it's easy for me to bear them. What a great dua. And who told us this dua? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the effect of this dua will be what? That even if the biggest of problems comes my way, upon my head, but Allah will make it easy for me to bear that issue. What a beautiful dua. What is that? That will make it easy and calm for me is yaqeen. Yaqeen. Yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainty and belief in Allah. The more yaqeen, it's good. The less yaqeen I have, the more distress and worry and stress I will have at the times of challenges. And yaqeen takes a person away from the means and towards a reality. And if a person doesn't have yaqeen, then he doesn't go away from the means. Rather, he takes hold of other means to fulfill his means, and they are the wrong means. And then his nafs, the desires, forces the person to go towards something which is haram. Allah says this is forbidden, and Sharia doesn't allow this. Then he goes towards that direction. So all of this is due to what? Because the insan, the human being's yaqeen is not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqeen has a great, high grade status. Let me tell you a saying of a companion, and when you hear this, you'll be surprised to hear this. You'll be surprised. Hazrat Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, he stated, may Allah be pleased with him, that certainty, what is certainty? If Allah Ta'ala's test comes to us and we have a little bit, an atom's weight, a hair's width of yaqeen in Allah, do you understand? Let's take a mustard seed. A mustard seed. That if somebody has even a mustard seed's weight of yaqeen in his heart in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person would start to float in the air. He would tread on water, if he had that much yaqeen at least. And this is the effect of yaqeen on our physical actions. So let's look inside ourselves, within ourselves. That how weak is our yaqeen? How weak is our yaqeen today? Yaqeen of the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum. They bore such difficulties and problems, afflictions, calamities with ease. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. We hear about his events very often. These aren't stories, Jackanory tales, folk tales. These are physical proof in the form of human beings who came to us, and we see how great and elevated these people were and what actions elevated their rank, their status. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu was a servant. He was a slave of a slave of a slave. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu anhu, Habshi slave. And the slave, he was the slave of his master. And Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once was walking through the street in the night, and he heard somebody crying. Somebody was crying a lot. And Rasulullah ﷺ reached to that door where the crying, shrieking noise came from within, and asked permission to go inside. And he saw ﷺ that were a very slim and weak and fragile human being, and he was trembling, and there were big seeds in the grinding pot at that time, and he was crying and shrieking, and he was grinding and he was working. And Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw this situation, he could not bear that to see what he saw. He asked, who are you? What is the reason? Why are you crying? He said, who are you to ask me? Can you tell me? He said, I am Umayyah's ghulam, and Umayyah oppresses me. And I've got extreme fever from some days. I've got nothing to eat. He doesn't give me anything to eat. I'm very weak, very weak, and he's given me this grinding pot to me to grind the seeds, and if I don't grind, he will beat me in the morning, and I will be punished and tortured, and I'm not even able to grind. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes, the tears came from his eyes when he saw the situation of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let me tell you one thing." He said, "What?" He said that you rest a bit, and I will grind this for you, the corn, the seeds. This was our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No introduction, nothing. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu said that such people are present in the world also. That this was the generation of oppression. Oppression. There was no sign of kindness, gentleness in that day and age. So he looked, he saw that you will grind the corn for me? He said, yes. He said, yes. And he sat down by the side, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to grind and work hard. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu had a rest. And when he finished, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he picked him up. Rasulullah SAW picked him up and said, "I finished." And Hazrat Bilal said, "Oh, beautiful person, oh, great person, you are going, but please introduce yourself to me. I've not seen a person like you from before today. All I know is oppression and dhulm. I've not seen anyone like you." And Rasulullah SAW said, "Oh, Bilal, if I introduce myself to you, then your situation will become even worse." He said, "No, please introduce yourself to me." He said, "I am the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." He said, "You are the Prophet." He said, "This Bilal brings iman in you, belief in you. How can I become a Muslim? Tell me the kalamat," as a Bilal asked, radiyallahu anhu. Look at this speech and discussion in the darkness. Yaqeen, I'm talking about yaqeen. A person who is being oppressed, who's grinding in the middle of the night, the corn, the grinding pot. And Rasulullah SAW said, "Oh Bilal, you have brought iman now into your heart. Don't mention this to your malik, your owner. Because you know what? This is nothing. If you tell him you've got iman, then the dhulm that will come your way." And Hazrat Bilal said, "That was before. Now I am your slave. How can it be that I hide this good news? Now I will make zahir apparent this news of my iman. Doesn't matter what happens." And then Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu mentioned openly his iman and told his malik that he was a believer. Then you know the dhulam that occurred with Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. He was laid down on the hot melting sand, on the hot coal. The dhulam, the oppression, the torture, the punishments that were meted out to him. But mashallah, he came out in a good way. So what was all this? This is the dua, my surah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, that in every difficult time, the more yaqeen, strong certainty we have, the easier it will be for us to pass through that challenging time and period. The difficulties automatically will become easy. We should have yaqeen. We should have total, solid yaqeen in Allah. And that same Bilal, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, elevated, increased his iman, didn't let it decrease to that extent that, as I mentioned to you, Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu anhu, the same Bilal, when his yaqeen increased, and it continued even through the challenging times, that same Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, the Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard Hazrat Bilal's footsteps in the heavens, and he said, "Oh Bilal, what is the action that you did that got you this rank? Instead that you stay with me, you live with me in the earth, and you are walking in the heavens." Look at the maqam of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. So the difficulties and issues and problems, these are going to occur anyway with an individual, whether we like it or not. But the person with iman should understand that the problems and calamities and issues come into our life to elevate our status. Yes, poverty will come, tightness will come, problems will come, emotions will go down low, hunger and poverty. I remember another event now based on yaqeen. Let me present it in your service, if you give me permission. Once some sadqa was given in a certain locality, and he had a fast. He was in the state of fast, and there was nothing to eat. And the knock came on the door, and he went to the door, and someone called out at the door that food has come. Take the bread, chapatis. And the slave said, "Who's this?" He said, "Go and get the food, go and get the food." She went, opened the door, and food, he said, "Food, is it?" And she asked that, "How many bread pieces of bread?" She said, 9. She said, "This is not for me, this must be for some other home, this is not my home." Then the same thing happened the next day. Then she asked, how many pieces of bread? And the answer came, 9. She said, this is not mine, this must be for some other home. Take it away. Third day the knock came again, and she stayed hungry third day, and she didn't touch the bread. Then the third day the knock came, then the servant said, Malika, how long will we stay like this? I'm hungry, you're hungry, and we're not taking the bread. Allah Ta'ala is sending the food, why are you not taking it, accepting it? What is the reason? What is the secret that you're not accepting the bread? She said, the reason is this, that I gave sadaqah one piece of bread in Allah's way, and Allah's promise is that for one, Allah Ta'ala gives 10. So these are 9 pieces of bread, so I understood these are not mine, these are for somebody else. So then the servant started to cry. She said, from the first day, 10 used to come, and I kept one for myself. And they were 10 totally, but I kept one for myself. Look at the yaqeen. Look at the yaqeen. This is iman. The status of the people of iman. And this is how much yaqeen we should have. When this yaqeen comes, then you will see history bears witness. Proves that Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, Imam Hussein, how his life passed. But he had yaqeen. He had yaqeen. And he understood and realized that this was from my Rabb, from my Lord. And he didn't feel any worries or grief or any complaints. Yes, for the people, for us, we'd say, oh, this is a calamity, it's a big, big tragedy. But for the person in that situation, it's not an issue. If there was yaqeen like our yaqeen, then if a pin pricks my body, I'll start crying, oh, I'll shriek out, there's blood coming from my body, and I've got pain, etc. I've seen such people crying. If you ask them, how was your Christmas sale? How did your business run in December? Then they start complaining. Oh, last Christmas was so prosperous, and this Christmas I've got £100 less. And they sold in the hundreds of thousands. And he's feeling sadness that he made £100 less gross turnover than the year before. Have yaqeen of what I'm saying. I used to do business. I used to look at the people's expressions. On £100, brothers, today £3 or less, and he's in a bad state. He starts fighting at home, quarreling. And then how will they bear the illnesses? So what I was saying, brothers, is that there's a solution for all of this. And what is that solution? Yaqeen. Certainty. You, mashallah, are following this path. So we should elevate our yaqeen. Certainty. When we strengthen our yaqeen, belief, iman, then the situation with our Lord, Allah Ta'ala, strengthens. And then we learn how to live the life with ease and smoothness. Allah Ta'ala says that those people who are the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, who are those people? What's their sign? What's the definition? Not the signs, the outward signs that we ascribe to the walis of Allah today, where they change their attire, try to look special and have long titles and present themselves as pious to people and do long, long ibadah. No. The wali of Allah is from the heart. And the wali of Allah, what is his sign? La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The food comes, no happiness. If food doesn't come, sitting for a week, 2 weeks long, no worries, no problems. These are the walis of Allah who are detached from the greed of the dunya. They never run after rizq. Rizq runs after them. They don't run after wealth. Wealth runs after them. They have yaqeen that whatever's written in my destiny will reach to me, and no power of the world will stop this. But if we start running without sabr, and then we start doing haram actions, and then we start hoarding out of fikr, out of worry, and then we hide the wealth in cases and in concealed areas, and we start worrying about tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, we start doing dhulm on ourselves. Such a beautiful life, 40, 50 years Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And how we pass that life in anxiety, greed, worry and distress, for hoarding and saving for the future. And we waste our time in useless, futile actions. Allah Ta'ala has promised that rizq will reach to you. Your clothes will reach to you. The items you need will reach to you. But don't live the life out of non-patience. And this is what kills our yaqeen and certainty. So brothers, my brothers, we have to elevate yaqeen. Strengthen our yaqeen. We don't have yaqeen, or so low yaqeen, and we don't then make effort to increase our yaqeen, or to bring about yaqeen in our lives. We don't try, we don't strive, we don't make effort to increase yaqeen certainty. We don't even know that, does yaqeen go up and down? We've not heard this hadith. If we've not heard this hadith, then we won't pay attention to it. We won't practice it. What a great clue that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us. Great clue, great solution that Allah Ta'ala has taught us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that how we should increase yaqeen. And this is a small part of yaqeen that I mentioned. This dua, that Allah give me such yaqeen that when I have problems in the world, make it easy for me to bear those problems and difficulties. And when yaqeen increases, then subhanAllah, imagine the practice of that person. He then floats in the air. He can tread on water. He's so light. But we sit down, we lack so much the hope. We have no hope and umid in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, my life's a misery and I can't improve it. No, we should have courage. My Hazrat rahmatullah said, if you have courage, then Allah's mercy will come. Great statement of Hazrat's that I wrote on my heart, that if you have courage, then Allah's rahmah will come. If you don't have courage, then there will be no mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we don't even move. We don't even move. We are so lacking hope and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't get anything from actions. My Hazrat, my Shaykh said, rahmatullahi alayhi, that if you have courage and run after something, try for something, then you will attain the success. Allah has given us health, iman, belief. The tears come out of our eyes. My heart is crying this moment. Why? That Allah, you gave me iman. And alongside iman, you gave me health. What health? And Allah, shukr to you, Allah, that I cannot mention the limits. That both things, Allah Ta'ala, you have given to me. And both of these things, what have I done? What is my action? That I have come to your home and I'm doing your dhikr. I'm remembering you. What a beautiful point. So we haven't wasted the opportunity Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We have to think about this. Why did we get both these things? That Allah Ta'ala says, I've given this to you. First, iman. And if we don't have iman, doesn't matter how much health I've got, how strong I am, I'll go towards other negative actions. But Allah has given us iman. And alongside iman, Allah has given health. So there's no restriction after that. Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah is merciful. On top of that, He's given us tawfiq, the hint, the guidance, and we've accepted it. And now we're sitting here doing dhikr of Allah. That's even a greater bonus. But if we waste this in other actions, in other objectives, so have courage. Have courage, my brothers. We need to have courage. We need to strive. Look how many years of our lives have passed away. And our yaqeen doesn't go up 1 inch. Rather, it goes down. A little difficult period comes in life and the iman goes down. Those people who are praying salah, even themselves, they go down. And the people who are dhakir or doing dhikr, they start leaving the tasbih. They're saying, I can't see the benefit. Remember one thing. Revise one fact. That whatever's going to come past our life, into our life, it's going to occur. And Allah Ta'ala says that I know everything that is occurring, even if your life, you think it's negative and problems, these are all my hikmahs, Allah Ta'ala said, all my wisdom. Today, me and you are introduced. This is hikmah. If, for example, I have a relationship with somebody else, a relative, this is Allah's hikmah, Allah Ta'ala's wisdom. If the car is driving and I'm driving it and the puncture occurs, be happy that Allah Ta'ala made the puncture come to this for some good reason. But we don't understand the hikmah. That what is the hikmah behind this? And we look at our benefits. No. This is the reason. If this didn't happen, I wouldn't have punctured the car today. And then I wouldn't have punctured. I would have reached my business on time. I would have made this much money. I would have reached work on time. I would have done this and got these results. Thousands of thoughts will come into our mind on the negative side. But we don't think with shukr to Allah that Allah, maybe that what you thought was better, that if the puncture did not occur to the tire, I would have reached to the destination I wanted to go to. Maybe Allah Ta'ala was saving me from a tragedy at that time. So whatever occurs in our life, illness comes, problems come, difficulties comes, trials come, clashes come. Instead of crying, we should do shukr to Allah. That Allah, this is your hikmah, Allah, and I'm happy and satisfied. And this is yaqeen, which gets elevated. So my brothers, do you understand what I'm saying? That what is lacking in our lives today is that our yaqeen and certainty needs to be increased, elevated higher. Think, ponder. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah, they're human beings. I gave you two examples. They were insan. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was a human being. He wasn't an angel. Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullahi, the second example, who didn't accept the bread when the knock came to the door. These were walis of Allah. They were insan, human beings just like us. So my brothers, let's elevate our yaqeen, our certainty. Strengthen it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to elevate our yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala has given us the solution of the dhikr of Allah, of His remembrance. I'm telling you from hadith, clear, that individual, that the more he does dhikr of Allah, the more he reaches close to Allah, and the more the person is lazy and negligent, the further away he goes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To this extent that his kalamat, his verses. Look, the kalamats that we recite, the dhikr of Allah that we do, these kalamats, we are on this earth and promising, we're not wasting these kalamats. We think, oh, we recited and we wasted time. The dhikr you did in the morning, yesterday morning, alhamdulillah, 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 Allah Ta'ala made us do this. We didn't do this, Allah made us do this. So if Allah Ta'ala allowed us to do his dhikr, you think it's evaporated, gone? My coming, sitting, you coming, sitting, Allah's given us tawfiq, power, energy. We've come, we detached ourselves from our beds and our sofas and our couches and come to Allah's house. Hadith, that when a person does the dhikr of Allah, Rasulullah said that when a person does the dhikr of Allah, his verses and kalamats don't stay on the earth. These are such lofty and great verses. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghiz. This then goes around the whole world and affects the whole world. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. How great in the plain of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this all night long. Ya hayyu ya qayyum, ya hayyu ya qayyum, ya hayyu ya qayyum. Imagine this kalima, that through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala created that bond and friendship and connection and strengthened it. And the whole of our situation of trials and challenges can change and flip upside down if we have yaqeen. So when a person does dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if he has yaqeen, he has such precious pearls that he is reciting at that time. And those kalamat cannot stay on the earth. Rather, they go and float into the air, to the heavens. They move up and move up and move up. And where do they stop? On top of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne. And then they start going around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they go around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne. The dhikr we do, those kalamats, they rise up, they climb up, they go up into the heavens, and they go around the arsh, and they mention that person who recited them. Subhanallah, how sad the situations we are in today. Allah Ta'ala has given us to eat, Allah has allowed us to sleep, He allows us to sleep in the night, Allah has given us awareness, intellect, consciousness, iman, acceptance, understanding, the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. Even then we don't remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Even then we don't do dhikr. Thousands of excuses. Thousands of other obstacles are coming away. Oh, do dhikr. If I do dhikr, how will I become a wali of Allah? If I do dhikr, how will I get success? If I do dhikr, how will I become a khalifa? If I do dhikr, when will I get this maqam? When will I get close this way, that way? Everyone's worried about secondary results. My brothers, the dhikr we're doing, we should be grateful that Allah Ta'ala has allowed His name to come out from my tongue. This is what I should be happy about. Not waste my time, and then just go throw into my grave. And the person who's in the grave, tell him, ask him, that you lived a life for 60 years. How many days did you do dhikr of Allah? This dhikr is not for days. It's not for hours. Dhikr of Allah should be done every moment by the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the answer you give. That when was I negligent? When you go, and you go to a wali of Allah. And when a wali of Allah passes away, and he goes into the grave, and he's asked, he will reply that I was never negligent, never lazy. I remembered Allah, my creator, from the heart. The seven lataif, the seven lessons Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us these lessons. There's no part of the body here, other side, here, other side, here, here. There's no part of the body left. And if it comes to here, then the whole of the body is affected positively. So Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr, guidance, and allowed dhikr to be absorbed into the heart. When a dhakir does dhikr, then tell me, how can he remain ghafil, lazy, negligent? He will do everything. He will do all of the actions every second he's a dhakir for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. So we are such losers. We are such losers, and we're so unfortunate if we don't think about this. We don't strive, we don't struggle, we don't go to the wali of Allah, ask, what is this dhikr? How can I learn dhikr? We don't do this. Men and women, all we want to do is talk about dunya, and despite the fact that dhikr is there, the opportunity is there, the precious pearl is there, we're running after the dunya. Allahu Akbar, it's hard today to explain to somebody what is dhikr. It is such a headache today to have a murid. Because people, the salik say, when will this happen? Why do I have to do this much? When will this occur? When will that occur? When will this occur? Thousands of reasons and excuses. Ajeeb dunya we're living in. Otherwise, alhamdulillah, if a person gets the path, the salik, then all his life long, he should never forget the favor of that person, his sheikh, his teacher, who has instilled the name of Allah onto his heart, imprinted it onto his heart. What more do you need? What more do we need? Do we need more wealth than this? Everything we've asked from Allah. Allahu Akbar. After that, do our hands need to rise up? If we've attained Allah, If we've got to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, then our hands don't need to raise after that, do they? So let's make the friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make the friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's strengthen the link with Allah. My friends, we are lying down in negligence. The day is going to come very quick, very quick. I don't know where. This country, Australia, Canada, you may be in India or in Pakistan. Where will we go on a holiday to see people? We hear so many times, oh, you know that brother, he went there. He went to Dubai and we realized, we heard that in Dubai he passed away. He went to buy shopping and he passed away. He went to get stock, he passed away. The other brother went to another place and he passed away. We don't know which soil or dust we are going to pass away. We have no news, no advance notice. But we are living the life of ghaflat, my brothers, my friends. The biggest point upon which will be recognized, that dhakir will be recognized, that he was alive, his heart was alive, he was alive in the world, and even now he's alive after death. And after death, he is praised. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They don't have khawf in the life, in the world, nor do they have khawf after death. They don't have any regrets, any time during their life, or after they pass away. So should we do dhikr or not, my friends? Of course we should. So we started today to speak about dhikr on the basis of what? What did we link it to? If we do dhikr, then yaqeen will be elevated and strengthened. The dhakir who does dhikr of Allah, who remembers Allah, then he will bear all the difficulties with patience. But we, the non-dhakir, says, why is it happening to me? Why not with this person? Why not with that person? All the drama will finish. The dhakir will say, alhamdulillah, this was in my destiny. It was to occur, and Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. That's the difference. That's it. When we complain, I've got losses, I can't work, and monetary issues, etc. But no, this is going to happen, isn't it? We do dhikr in the morning a little bit, and then we forget about it during the day. This is going to happen. So when it was coming to us, we didn't want to practice. So we shouldn't be worried about distress or happiness. My Hazrat, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that there's no happiness for somebody who comes, and there's no distress for the person who has left. What a great statement. There was no fikr, no sadness, no worry, no excitement, no sadness. There was no food, bread for a week. For a week long there was no bread in the home. The stove would not be lit for a week. But never did we see that the salah was late, or the dhikr, the mamulat were discreased, or he never sat in the morning, or he never sat in the evening for the majlis, or the regular majlis, that did not occur. All of the majlis were taking place, but we realized there was no food all week long in the home. Nor did they ask from anyone, nor did they tell anybody. They were severely ill. Their body was trembling. And he came. Hazrat came, Ramthray, on Thursday night, on the night of Jummah. And he was standing, he was about to fall down. And Hazrat always used to say a few things, at least a few things. And this was the hukum given to me as well, the speak as well. When this Najeez, humble servant, came, I didn't even know how to speak, how to share these things with other people. But because of my Hazrat's hukam order, I speak at your service, otherwise I wouldn't speak. Hazrat said, specially speak, so I realized that my Hazrat's tasarruf, his attention and focus. And I say, Hazrat, it was your focus and attention, it's me just speaking physically. And I'm ashamed, such big great alims are sitting here, Hafiz, Qari, alims who have great, great status, and they're pious. Even now you're sitting in front of me. And how shameful that person like me who's not capable, who goes towards the sins, and I start speaking. This is a lack of respect. And I have to think, I get sweated, I start sweating. Then I have to take off my outer garment, my qameez and bunyan. I'm telling you the truth, that I'm immersed in the sweat, in the shame. There are such good people who are knowledgeable and I'm sitting there and speaking. But the difference is, if I don't speak, then from behind I don't want to get the telling off. This was the hukam of Hazrat, that if you want the majlis of dhikr, you have to speak in the beginning. I said, Hazrat, what will I say? What will I say? Tell me. Advise me. And what was the hukam Hazrat gave? I said, okay, I will try to speak. I've never spoke before. Then another letter came. The Hazrat said, now you have to also lead Jummah Salah and give the khutbah. I said, SubhanAllah, if I didn't say anything in the first place, it was okay. So I have to give khutbah as well and lead Jummah. I said, where will I read the khutbah from? Then I did dua to Allah. I lied down. I woke up and the whole khutbah I had memorized, and I related that on the day of judgment. People give me a book. I said, I don't need the book. I will just start for the name of Allah, Allah is the Malik. SubhanAllah. And this is what occurs in this path, alhamdulillah. Everything comes with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is with the fadl of Allah. Allah's karam, mercy, you're sitting, I'm speaking. No one has no magic or no power or no ability. It's all due to the fadl of Allah. My coming, you're sitting, me speaking. It's not due to our own devices. I'm not even the dust on the slippers. I am worse than all of this. I sweat when I have to speak, when I see the learned people around me. But this is Hazrat's hukam, my sheikh's order, and then I have to speak and share and discuss these points. It's not that I'm an alim, I speak like this, I give a lot of taqareer or speeches, lectures. No, nobody is able to do anything except with the will of Allah. Brothers, let's assign ourselves to Allah. No pain will remain, no distress will remain. And for this, the great hadith, that the person who does the dhikr of Allah will enter into paradise laughing and smiling. What a beautiful hadith. Why? Why? That he, because he will have no issues. The all of the distress of the world, it went, disappeared. The same way he used to smile and laugh in the dunya, he will smile and laugh walking into paradise. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who do dhikr in a nice way, have courage. If we have courage, then Allah's mercy definitely will come. Definitely will come. The tariqah that you are taught, if your sheikh teaches you how to do dhikr, establish dhikr, become steadfast and regular. And if you do this, inshallah, whatever has come in the hadith with the fadl of Allah, all of those rewards you will attain with the fadl of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you also, ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.